Your Majesties, Your Royal Highness, also a big thank you from my side for having all of us here today. I'm happy to talk to all of you about how to activate people when it comes to topics such as sustainability, climate, and the environment. My name is Lisa. I am from the Netherlands, living in Berlin. I'm the head of operations at Playing for the Planet, an initiative that is facilitated by the United Nations Environment Program. And we support the video games industry to showcase how the world's largest entertainment medium can be a powerful tool to tackle the greatest challenge of our time. Today, I'll share some of the facts and figures, as promised. I'll share how to activate an entire industry to take climate action, and I'll share some of my personal tips on how to deal with potential barriers that you may get to along the way. The video games industry in 2022 was worth almost $185 billion, which is 3.5 times more than the music and film industry combined. It is the largest entertainment medium, and it wins the attention economy. With 3.3 billion gamers globally, the reach of the video games industry is limitless, and every generation can be found in games. Amongst baby boomers, 43% are considered gaming enthusiasts, and this number is growing with each generation. A gaming enthusiast is considered someone that engages with games through viewing, playing, or social behavior. Especially looking at the younger generations, they are the ones that we can engage, educate, and inspire through games, with 94% of Gen Alpha being considered a gaming enthusiast. So how did I end up here at the intersection of the video games industry and taking climate action? Because this is not something that was my top priority a long time ago. And this goes back to my job at Wooga, a mobile games developer based in Berlin, where during my last role as a strategic partnerships manager, I tried to look for ways to support the app Share the Meal through our games. And as none of our games back then had a clear focus on anything food related, it was challenging for me to find a hook for this collaboration between our games and the app. And I didn't get much further than getting people from within my network to donate meals to this app itself. And then the pandemic came. Many gaming studios teamed up with the World Health Organization to share important messages to prevent the spread of COVID-19, and Wooga was one of them. Through the unifying hashtag #PlayApartTogether, companies encouraged conversations with millions of players through their games and on their social media platforms. And this is actually where, for me, it was a sign that games can be a powerful tool for good. So food didn't seem the right fit between with the games that Wooga was making at the time. Everyone was having COVID fatigue, so another one of these campaigns probably wouldn't land very well. So I got curious to see how people would react to a climate-themed campaign in our games. And this is where my personal journey to take action for our planet started. In 2021, I signed Wooga up to join what we call the Green Game Jam. As part of this, the company's two most famous characters that you see here, June and Pearl, they teamed up to plant trees. The initial goal for this campaign was reached within 5 hours of launch, so this showed that there was a clear appetite to do more. The achievement to get the company I worked for to participate in this initiative, as well as the amazing outcome of this one campaign, gave me a lot of energy to do more. Later that year, I left Wooga and joined Playing for the Planet, trying to see how we can get more studios to use their games as a force for good. And at Playing for the Planet, we aim to build a community of practice where we collaborate rather than compete. And all the organizations that are part of it have chosen to be there, and none of them were forced to do so. And it's this type of collaboration that is actually also happening between players of certain games. A great example of this is Pokemon Go. It's a game published by Niantic in collaboration with Nintendo and the Pokemon Company. And Pokemon Go is a mobile augmented reality game that uses GPS to locate, capture, train, and battle virtual Pokemon that appear in the player's real-world location. And through features like community day, parties, and routes, the game inspires people to get out of the house into nature to connect with others. So let's look at a couple more games. Or maybe I'll share a little bit more about Pokemon Go. So on top of this, this game also activates people to take part in cleanup events where the most engaged players team up with NGOs to clean up communities to be in a nicer space where they live. And as a thank you, those players that participate in these events receive in-game rewards. And it's efforts like these that show how much impact people can have when they work together. And now, a couple more games. So some games focus entirely around nature and the environment, and they aim to share specific knowledge with its players. Alba, a wildlife adventure made by Us2 Games in the UK, is a great example of this. Alba is a game about a girl discovering her love for nature as she becomes a champion for the local nature and wildlife. She decides to stop a project where a nature reserve is going to be replaced with a 5-star luxury hotel, and touches on topics such as urban development, deforestation, farming, pesticides, but also corruption. And a big task like this can seem like a lot, but if Alba can do it, so can the player. Another game is Beyond Blue, made by Eline Media, a developer based in the US. And Beyond Blue is a game that allows players to explore the mysteries of our oceans through the eyes of Mirai, a deep sea explorer and scientist. She and her newly formed research team will use groundbreaking technologies to see, hear, and interact with the ocean in a more meaningful way than has ever been attempted. And Eline Media teamed up with the BBC Studios, some of science's leading ocean experts, and many others to build this amazing game about our oceans. And where some games focus entirely on nature, I would actually say that nature is present in every game, and I'm making that statement without having played every game that's out there. Here's an example of Riders Republic, a game made by Ubisoft Annecy in France. And Riders Republic is a game where players can explore iconic US national parks such as Yosemite, Zion, and Bryce Canyon. And they do this while participating in activities like biking, skiing, gliding, and snowboarding. Through the game, players get to discover places they may not be able to visit in the real world. And of course, I'm not promoting here tearing through national parks on bikes is a good thing, but I am highlighting how nature has been a great inspiration to build this game. Then Horizon Forbidden West, which is made here in Amsterdam by Guerrilla Games. Horizon Forbidden West is a game that is set in a post-apocalyptic Western United States. The player joins Aloy as she ventures into Forbidden West to find the source of a mysterious plague that kills all it affects. She tries to save the world. She discovers a vast array of environmental ecosystems, including lush valleys, tropical beaches, and ruined cities. And this is not where it ends. There is a third group of games, as every single game can implement an environmental theme into their storyline. And this is exactly what we do at Playing for the Planet with the Green Game Jam, where any live game that has an existing audience and is out there on the market can participate. And through this project, we challenge developers to find ways to implement these environmental themes into their games. We don't tell them what to do. We give them a framework and the tools to work with, and with that, they kind of end up doing what we want them to do. So last year's theme focused on wildlife, where studios raised money to protect three wild species, the harlequin toad, the snow leopard, and the manta ray. And all we gave studios was the option to choose one of these three animals to implement into their game. And a couple examples of what that looked like as well. Love and Pies, it's my favorite game right now, made by Trail Mix, a studio from the US. They focus on the Harlequin Toad. In Love and Pies, players combine the same items. In this game, it's pies, and they merge them into larger ones. And they do this until you get to the desired pie that you can serve to your customer. Additionally, the game has a narrative feature where all characters engage into a story. As part of the Green Game Jam, they challenge players to merge collectively 850 million toads. And as they did that, they showed pop-ups in the game where players could get more information about these endangered species if they were interested. Through the story component, they encourage players to look out for the Rainforest Alliance logo, specifically when buying their coffee. And then the last one for today is Pac-Man, a game by Bandai Namco in collaboration with Super Gaming. They chose to promote the Snow Leopard. And you might know Pac-Man from the 80s as it was originally released for arcades, but this example focuses on the mobile version of the game. For the Green Game Jam, a whole new map with a lot of levels was created, all themed around the snow leopard and its habitat. And players progressing through the map, they would get different types of facts about this animal. And as you continue to play more levels, special cards could be collected, more information could be obtained, and a themed souvenir would be obtained by players. So those were a lot of games. Let's do a quick recap. The first group were games that are designed for a primary purpose other than entertainment, and we call these games serious games. They are quite niche, and they're not for everyone. Secondly, I shared games that champion nature. Their main purpose is fun, and they do not really try to teach players anything about a specific environmental theme. And then lastly, I showed games with green activations. And this is the group that we would like to focus our efforts on, because games are live products, and any type of content can be added on a regular basis. Besides differences, there are also things that all these games have in common. They're all fun and played by millions of people. And this is the most important ingredient of a game, because if a game is fun, if it's not fun, people might come and play your game, but they are definitely not sticking around, so you won't be able to share this type of messaging with them. Secondly, they give agency. Players have the ability to make their own decisions, and while doing so, they don't sit back, but they actively participate into the game. And then last but not least, each game has a unique impact potential. For every game out there, there's an environmental theme that fits, and for every player, there's something that resonates with them. And with that, I would love to circle back to the Green Game Jam, as this year's theme is Small Actions, Big Impact. And we are hoping to understand two things. One is, can games inspire real-world and offline environmental action? And if so, do those that have been introduced to real-world and offline action through the games they play continue to take environmental action over time? And this theme came to life on the one hand side based on research from Krista Meyer, who is a neuroscientist and director of Climate Action Unit at the University College London, who suggests that action is the place to start. On the other hand, my personal experience also played a role. Last year, I started learning how to farm and grow my own food in a sustainable way. And as a result of me getting closer to nature and growing my own food successfully, I am now eating a mostly vegetarian diet and am wasting much less food. Because once you realize how much time, effort, and love needs to go into growing your own food, you will think twice before you throw it out. So this year again, we don't tell studios what to do. We give them three themes: food, waste, and restoration, with the hope that anyone can take an action that benefits the planet in and around their homes when it comes to these three themes. And now you might wonder, why do we think that games can inspire these actions? And according to the research that I just mentioned by Krista Meyer, people's knowledge about climate impact has increased in the last years, but the willingness to act has remained the same. And therefore, we will focus on three key pieces that he identified when it comes to making an impact. The first is that we learn by doing. In games, we continuously learn how to engage with new and complex systems. And once we have mastered the system, the game will make sure to teach us the next. So in a cooking game, where players gather ingredients to cook a vegetarian recipe, can these games inspire people to cook a recipe like this in their own homes? And do games where you learn how to grow food, plants, and trees have the ability to inspire people to grow something in their garden or on their balcony? And going back to the example of Pokemon Go, are there also other games that can inspire people to clean up their local parks and beaches? Secondly, one action can lead to more, and this is twofold. My previous employer, Wooga, is joining the Green Game Jam for the fourth year in a row, as they have seen also the positives around the business when it comes to these type of activations. And the same goes for their players taking action. But also, when I look at myself, as I started growing my own food, I changed what I eat and how I deal with waste. And lastly, we are all social beings. We tend to do more when we do things together. And games have built very close communities around them, and hopefully these can be leveraged to inspire people to make a difference. And before I pass it back to Mr. Leijendijk, I'll leave you with three things that I would have loved to know much earlier. Every one of us has a superpower and a unique impact potential. And it took a while for me to find mine. But my superpower is being able to connect with people, no matter their background, interests, or age, and to activate them to do a thing which they may not have thought about doing before. Not everyone is jumping to take climate action, and there will always be reasons not to do things. But you'll be surprised to see how the same conversation that happens in the office can have a completely different outcome when this is had over a drink. Change happens when people try to tackle a problem from different angles. And an artist versus an engineer will have a completely different insights and ideas, and that is exactly what we need at this point. If the first person you talk to and try to engage doesn't care or doesn't have the time, there's always other people in an organization that are happy to get involved. And on a daily basis, we work with marketing managers, artists, engineers, but also executives. And I wish I had realized earlier that each of them has their own unique insights. And without those, we would not be where we are today. And lastly, taking action can be fun. And yes, for many of these things, you may have to get out of your way a little bit. But when approaching that with an open mind, making sure you have fun, it's not that bad. And this is an example of a group of us in the games industry during Earth Week, where I took everyone to a farm where I volunteer. And being away from your desk, doing something that you normally would never do, opens your mind to new things. And as a bonus, when you start doing something different, or new, you get to know other people. And look at all of us in the room here. If it weren't for this event, we probably would not have met. And I for sure would have never thought that I would end up here in Amsterdam at the Royal Palace talking about the environment in games, but here we are.